Good morning, everyone. We are in the 22nd parak. Well, this is actually the third week going through this chapter as we are coming toward the end of Shmuel Beis. Shmuel Beis is only 24 chapters long. We are up to Pasuk Yud Zayin on page 362. And this is the third week we've been discussing and going through this song, the lyrics of this song, if you will. And this is David, according to many explanations, toward the end of his life, reflecting on the things that happened throughout his entire life. And not only on a personal level, but another way that this can be interpreted, as songs can have different meanings, the same words can mean two different things to two different people, and it's the same thing. Also represents the historical times in which the Jewish people were saved, different issues that occurred, a lot of it having to do with Mitzrayim. In fact, in the parak, the pasuk which we concluded with, which was pasuk Tet Zayin, it mentioned the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. That not only the splitting of the sea, but as we saw in the English on page 363, also Rashi says that at the time in which there was the splitting of the sea, all the water split everywhere in the world. So if you were having a cup of tea, it split. If you were having some soup, it split everywhere, and this occurred in order that no one should question the miracle that occurred. That obviously everyone would have been mesmerized at such an amazing occurrence, and therefore everyone would know Hashem's miracles that he did for the Jewish people and the miracles that Hashem does for us. And as we begin, again, this is, again, the purpose of this is David's, at the end of his life, not just saying, forget about my past, forget about my history, forget about all those difficult problems that I have, and fortunately I survived. But rather, he used that as an opportunity to reflect, to look back. Which is what I spoke about on Shabbos, was the purpose in Parshas Maaseh, which it goes over the 42 times which the Jewish people were traveling, they stopped, and mentions it all over again. Because some explain that it's necessary to, after all is said and done, to look back at your life, and to be able to reflect on all the ups and downs, the peaks and valleys, if you will, challenges that we've all gone through, and to show our appreciation, of course, to Hashem, for being where we are today. Let's continue now with Pasuk Yud Zayin. So again, on page 362, challenging words, what exactly is David saying? So we'll go through them today, and then we'll finish this lengthy parak, God willing, next week. Yishlach mimarom yikachen. So he says that he was sent, he sent from up high, yikacheni, and he took me. Yamsheni mimayim rab. Yamsheni is brought down in the Mesudas Sion, is in Inyan Hotzah, that he took me out mimayim rabim, from a lot of water, from the deep waters. Now, what exactly is that referring to? So if we look, and again, a lot of this is not underlined, but if you would look, starting off in the Mesudas David, which is the first wide line, Yishlach Mimarom, that we said that he sent from on high and he took me. So the Mesudas David says over here that this is Yishlach, that he was sent as Rasi Mimarom, to save me and to help me from above. That Hashem is involved in our lives. Hashem comes down and is involved. Yikacheni miyad ha'oyev, and he took me from the hand of my enemy. Yotzieni miyad harabim hakamim alai. And again, he, from all the numerous people that wished to cause me harm, he protected me from them. Hashoftim kemayim rab, that these people, just like you have a huge gush of water which comes and knocks you down, like a person could go into the deepest of waters and see a huge wave that it's just water, it's nothing, you drink it. But when it's powerful, it can knock you down, you lose complete control. That's what it was like, these enemies that were just in this crashing wave hitting me, in which without Hashem's protection, it would be impossible for me to have done anything. So this is Masus Dovid's a reflection on David's life. The Radak in the same pasuk says, "Derech Mashal Shehoitzim in Mitzaros Rabois." It doesn't mean that there was actually water hitting him, but as we said, it represents all the different travails and difficulties that he had, just like this huge, huge water that came after him. Bless you. Behu Megzeres Kimin Hamayim Mishisihu Binyanim Inyan Hamshach Avahotzah. The pasuk that's brought down in the Radak is with regard to Moshe, that was also spared from the waters, and similarly, he was removed from this danger of his enemies. So this is how it's being interpreted. If you look in the English on page 363, it says as follows. Following the two lines of interpretation in this section of the song, this is either a metaphor for God's miraculous salvation of David, which, as we said, on a personal level, or an allusion to the Israelites' exit from the parted waters of the Sea of Reeds. So you have, you can imagine going through this Niyamsuf, which we mentioned in the previous pasuk, and seeing huge waves on either side, which could easily, in a blink of an eye, crash down and cause, obviously, instant death upon all the nation of Israel. And therefore, by gazing upon that, realizing how Hashem is in complete control then, and also control of David and in our lives. Continuing in the English, it says as follows. Alternatively, this refers to the angels God sent to save Lot and his family from the destruction of Sodom, so that David could descend from Lot and his daughter. And we know that Rus was a product of Lot, which is a whole question unto itself, exactly how that occurred. But without Lot, there would have been no King David, and Mashiach and the whole Davidic dynasty just wouldn't have existed. And therefore, reflecting not only on his life, but on the way that his ancestors were spared in order that he himself would be able to move on and to live. So that is, again, another interpretation. If you look, continuing in the English, he drew me out of deep waters, it says on page 363 on the bottom right, David thanks God for saving his ancestor Nachshon ben Aminadab, who was the first to plunge into the Yamsuf, the Sea of Reeds, before it split. As we know that people were saying, should we go? What should we do? Should we go back to Egypt? Should we fight? Should we pray? And Nachshon ben Aminadab went straight into the Yamsuf, all the way up to his neck, to his nose. Then all of a sudden it split, which shows that once we go forth and we put the first step, or maybe a few steps, then Hashem will help us. If we sit with our arms crossed and expect God to do miracles for us, we're going to be waiting for a long time. Nachshon ben Aminadab went into the Yamsuf. He kept forging into the sea until he was on the verge of drowning, and then his heroic display of faith to God was rewarded when God split the sea. So says the Alshech. Moving on to Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches tells us, Yatzileni mi'oivi oz, misonai ki amtsu mimeni. So it sounds like it's just talking about enemies, but there is a difference between the first half of the sentence and the second half. The first says that he saved me mi'oivi oz, of someone who's mighty, mi'oivi, my enemy, which is Lashon Yachid, singular, one enemy. And then he changes gears, which for those who don't like sentences which aren't consistent, this seemingly is an issue. Misoinai, from my enemies, ki omsu mimen. Omsu is transcendent mistida sion, is inyan chayzek. They were strong, they were more powerful than me. So it's interesting that first he talks about his enemy, and then he focuses on enemies. So if we begin by looking at the words of the Radak makes this mention. He notices that this is, in fact, the first half only is singular. If you look toward the bottom of this page, the last small line, Pasuk Yud Ches, The Radak says, Mioi Mioz, Loshin Yochid. This is referring to one enemy. So who is this enemy that he was focusing his attention on? Al Galiot, which is Goliath, which of course he was successful in that battle against the Philistine, the giant. Oh, Al Ishbi Benov, the Esher Al Shaul. So it's possible that it's talking about Shaul, who was constantly pursuing him. It could also be referring to Yishbi Benov. If you remember the very interesting Talmudic passage, which I shared with you a few weeks ago, the war, which is not so clearly mentioned at the end of chapter 21, with Yishbi Benov, that Yishbi captured him, put him into an olive press, and it was because David was hunting, and he went into enemy territory without realizing it, and he was captured by this giant Yishbi, and fortunately he was saved. But nonetheless, his life was almost taken away to the point that people said, no longer are you able to fight in a war, no longer are you going to be out of our sight, because you being killed would be devastating for the entire Jewish nation. So that's what it means when it mentions the enemy. He's focusing his attention on specific enemies that were exceedingly challenging to be able to be victorious over, which ultimately he was. Of course, that's what's brought down in English. Some explain a little bit of a twist on these words. First of all, when it comes to Yatzilini Mi'oivi Oz, the singular, it may not be talking about his own life. It may be referring to about the Jewish people as a whole. And when it says, who is the enemy of the Jewish people, so what were we talking about? Talking about the splitting of the sea. We're talking about, obviously, something connected to the exodus of Egypt. So he says, the enemy was Paro. So you have this king, this evil man. And when it says the second half of the sentence about my enemies, so in this, Chazal bring down El HaMitzrim. This is referring to the Egyptians as a whole nation. But we also learn from here that this is also a historical concept. That all you need is one enemy. You have one person that hates the Jewish people, or hates you. Let's talk about the Jewish people. And all you need is one person, all of a sudden you can get all these laggards, all these people that really can't think for themselves, these people that don't know how to be able to look and say, this person is wrong, this person is a terrible person who wants to harm and do a genocide upon the Jewish people. All you need is one enemy to cause multitude of people thereafterwards to want to do harm to the Jewish people. We see that throughout. This is brought down explicitly as Paro and the Egyptians. Because one enemy causes enemies. One problem can cause numerous issues thereafter. We see that also in the story, in the Purim story. You have Haman. What does Haman do? Kill all the Jews. So, what do you mean? Haman can't do it by himself. But once he starts initiating this whole concept of harming the Jewish people, so everyone else wants to join in. Similarly, it's the same thing on a personal level. This is what David's talking about. David is talking on a personal level. You can have one person that wants to harm me, and all of a sudden everyone wants to jump in and harm you. So how careful one must be to make sure not to have a single enemy. And to say, what's the difference? So this person hates me. The Metzius is that when it comes to poison, it can spread. And therefore how dangerous it could possibly be, as David saw in his life, that with one enemy, which you can contain, but that one enemy can cause misoinai. Enemies, ki omsu mimeni, that they're so powerful, maybe they're not so strong by themselves, but now that they're together, I can't do anything about it. If it wasn't for the sake of Hashem, who was able to intervene on my behalf. Pasuk Yud Tes then tells us, as David is recounting his personal life, he kadmuni b'yoyim edi. A.D. is translated in the Masuda Sion as Inin Mikra Ra, something which was terrible, something bad. When something was bad was occurring in my life, the Kadmuni, they came after me on that day. On the day in which I was weakest, instead of them saying, you know what, let's fight fair. Unfortunately, this guy is not doing too well today. Let's wait until he's strong, because otherwise, what type of a person am I? I'm a coward. I can only fight you when you're down. That was precisely the time which showed absolutely no sympathy, no compassion, no empathy. This is the time in which I'm going to specifically choose to attack you. At a time in which David was at his weakest, most